I love this section in Revelation. I love the section because the battle is real. It's being fought. You may have people right now sitting with you who don't believe. They maybe used to believe, but they don't now. They may be in some stage of under attack by the demonic. You may or may not recognize it as the red dragon, the fiery dragon, but it's real. It has an intent to destroy you, your marriage, your family, your children, and your grandchildren. It works. Satan does this. And he works in people's minds and hearts to convince them they don't need God. They don't need salvation. They really have no problems in their life. The money is there. The security is there. Whatever it is they want. And you begin to understand that dragon works diligently to destroy and infect. It doesn't quit. Scripture in Revelation, if you look at it, points out this very reality. It says at that point where you begin to understand there's this battle that takes place. The angels, Gabriel and the angels win the battle, and he's hurled to earth. And then he says this, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, because Satan is out. But woe to the earth and the sea. When the dragon saw he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman." All right? That concept of pursue is an actual aggressive action to destroy. It's not like, I'm going to chase you around. This is a terrifying reality of what he's pursuing to do. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And she went on from there. And then it continues on and it goes, "Then from the mouth of the serpent it spewed with water like a river to overtake and destroy the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped her by swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring." Listen who they are. "Those who obey God's commandments and those who hold to the testimony." Scripture says in this section, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is always efficient enough to accomplish everything it's meant to accomplish, including destroying the dragon. The issue, of course, is that we don't use that power that has been won for us or given to us. We don't learn that simple task of get away from me, I belong to Jesus, leave me alone. And we get caught up in the playing games with sin. You know, at first it's, well, I'm not too bad. I'm only doing this once in a while. And we get that kind of comfortability with sin. And then after a little bit of time, it gets to be so comfortable, we stop feeling any pang of conscience for a particular behavior, a particular sin. And so the drinking starts, or the messing around, or sleeping around, or compromise just kind of creeps into your life, and you're really waiting for something dramatic to happen, like I'm waiting for my car to blow up, my apartment to burn down, my house to do something, and nothing happens. And you start whispering to yourself, it must be okay. And pretty soon that little playing around with sin steps into a bit of a comfortability. And you become so comfortable with it, it becomes habitual. And pretty soon the sin itself can no longer be separated from who you are, because you are the manifestation of that particular sin or sinning attitude or behavior or unbelief or rejection of God. You've become one with the very thing that if we were sitting up here or at any other time in your life, you'd know immediately the person's in serious trouble. And you ask the question, how did I get from having a faith in God to having lost it? And the answer comes back a little tiny bit at a time. And so the challenge in this text is not only being aware of the work of the red dragon and the work and destructive force that he is, but he still longs to destroy and infect your life. Scripture says Satan, like a roaring lion, is looking for someone to pursue. I don't know if you watch nature films or not, but I like to watch them, and some of them are really kind of gory. Alligator and lion doing a fight, and they're tearing at each other, and all of a sudden the gator gets a hand on the part of the lion, big massive lion, pulls him down toward the water and pulls him underwater, and he's dead. This battle is not just against the strong. This battle is against the vulnerable. I remember one time I watched impala or some animal like that giving birth. And here's this baby zebra or impala halfway out. The lions come. They grab that baby before it's even completely born. And then they kill the mother too. Please understand, it's not a game when God says, Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't care when he attacks you. He doesn't care what it's going to take, or how you're going to be manipulated, or how having the things you have, wanting to date the people you date, hang around the way you want to hang around, and talk the way you want to talk, live the way you want to live, smoke what you want to smoke, drink what you want to drink, and anything else you want to fit in there. He is a roaring lion looking for a way to destroy you and your marriage and your children and your family. And if he can tear the baby out while it's still within the mother, he will. What an unbelievable testimony. Aaron shared that with me when I got to visit them the first night. And you could just hear of the life that was racing back into his own precious child, realizing how vulnerable at that particular moment she was. And I go, you have to recognize when God gives this analogy, he's not doing it just for the fun of a children's sermon. He's calling us as adults to recognize the face of the enemy. I wish Satan did look like that. You know it's an analogy. That's what Satan does. Peter got manipulated by Satan to try and talk Jesus out of going to the cross. Peter was one of Jesus' closest and most intimate friends. And so this picture, in one sense, I have to remove and throw away, and I have to replace it with the person sitting next to you. Every husband is capable of having Satan get in his mouth attitude and behavior. And your wife will tell you when it's there, and your kids could probably tell you when it's there. And every wife is capable of that toward their husband, every child toward their parent. You don't get exempt from these attacks simply because you love Jesus. There is a process here where you have to live in that area in preparation of rebuke. I didn't teach those kids for the fun of it. I taught them because I never want them to be afraid. I want them to understand the strength that God has given to them, and it's not based on their muscle structure or how tall they are or how much they weigh. It's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ loves them, cares about them, went to the cross for them, and this is a power that you have been given, which is part of the message of Christmas. The ability to rebuke and deal with the demonic attack in your life. The only thing you have to be careful of is how easy it is to compromise. How easy it is to become friends with sin. You can become friends with your sin and your bitterness, in your unforgiveness. You can think because you're the man, you're somehow better than the woman. You can think because you're the woman and he's so easy to manipulate that it's okay to manipulate him. You can think because you're a snotty kid that everybody does it the way you want. You can go down every number of paths you can possibly imagine. And if I shout one or miss one, you should be able to ask the Lord, what is yours? Because we all play that game. And pretty soon, that very behavior which we know is sin, which we wouldn't like in somebody else if they were doing it to us, becomes comfortable in our attitude, and pretty soon you can't separate me from the snippiness. You can't separate me from the nagging. You can't separate me from the excuse making. You can't separate me from whatever particular sin I've decided to become close with. And I live in that and become comfortable with it. And the dragon has its teeth on my heart, my life, and it's going to pull me under as soon as it gets the leverage to do so. So you and I have to understand this Christmas is both exciting, adventuresome, and beautiful. It's also challenging. I'm not sure if you're going to get the phone call to try and do what John had to do in the middle of when he was working as a police officer. But you could be in the middle of something. The question is, do you have the faith of a child? You leave me alone. I belong to Jesus. Get away from me. And you can fit it into your own words, but you have to understand who fights for you. Who fights for you? And when you begin to understand that, I want you to understand the message of Christmas. One more time. The whole message is literally set apart for this. And the idea, I'm sorry, Dave, I didn't let you read today, did I? I don't know, the pastor sometimes does that. There's a passage in the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. 12 years old, Dad let me stay up past 10, 9. Remembering the floor opens up and they're dancing and they fall into the pool. I like swimming in a pool. But then at the end, when here's a man who thought it was absolutely useless and a failure, when he had absolutely no reason to continue to go on, and he finds out what life would have been without him, he goes through that whole process. And in the end, the book he receives have a little note in the front, and it says this: no man is a failure who has friends. And I always tear up at that point because I understand how easy it is to be a failure. God is calling his people to fight, to take a stand, to be bold, to teach the little ones to be bold, to understand the foot of Jesus is crushing the neck of the serpent. You have this power, this ability, but if you don't stand, you will be sucked underneath with a nip and a bite and a grab, just the way a roaring lion might take you down a little at a time. Pray with me if you would. Lord, salvation is so simple, so clear, and so pure. You came to save sinners. You came to save those trapped in the foolishness of I don't know you and I don't need you. You've come to save those who have been wounded by life and circumstances. You've come to save those who have been tricked, deceived, pulled down, and pulled under. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that in your mercy, grace, and love, that you would work in our lives. I pray, Father, that we would truly understand your call upon our lives and truly understand the miracle of what it is when we deal with the dragon. Lord Jesus, as we hear the words now read to us, please allow them to take root in our heart. Amen. Come on down, Dave. We'll let you do it now. You're going to hear the text now. Listen for it. Last couple parts. Just
don't want to do the Revelation part.
Yeah, don't do the Revelation. Just read that one. That's good.
Good summary.
No, that's right. Don't need a summary. Just give it. Just read the text.
The first reading is from Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 to 17. I was asked to not just jump right into it so people can get their Bibles open, so I'll give you a few seconds, and then we will go.
Or get it on your phone.
Or on your phone, which is something you wouldn't have asked a few years ago. But this is basically, like Pastor said, how the devil tried to thwart the birth of the Savior and everything he tried. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child at the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accusers of our brothers, who accuses them before, our God and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. They did not love their lives so much so as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and you will dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who was given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times a half, and time out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away from the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Want me to do the other one?
Sure.
Okay. The second reading is very familiar to all of us. It's from Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 or 7, as it says up there. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to have the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Such a quiet event, birth of Jesus. Such an unbelievable, universal, galactical event, the birth of Jesus. In your name, Lord Jesus, we rebuke Satan in and around our lives, around our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives. You have no authority here. We belong to you. We take back our sons, our daughters, our children, and our grandchildren. We claim the authority that comes through you to us by mercy and grace, won for us at the cross, through the gift of your birth, death, and resurrection. And we ask, Lord, in your name, that you would set us free from the lies and self-deception in each one of our hearts, until we reflect perfectly the light of your love and the glory in each of our ways, words, and actions. We pray this in your name. Amen.